CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning. So, Ben caught an Uber in this morning and the guy got lost.
Ah, it's these road closure things. Like, there's so many areas where they put up these, I don't know what they're called, like pseudo security boom gates thingies.
Oh, like the boomed off areas?
Yeah, because someone whose life's obviously coming to mostly a social end believes that by putting gates outside of certain roads, you're now going to prevent crime. But, like, if you actually drive around the area, there's like three entrances where you can go in 24/7. With no security, nothing.
So it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't the driver's fault. It's just...
No, that's the thing. I feel sorry for these guys because they can be 2 minutes away, but then they go, oh, shit, there's a gate.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they're 8 minutes away.
Nobody lets them through the gate?
That they're actually like proper fences, so there's no boom.
Yeah, they've totally closed off that whole neighborhood and there are two, three entrances into it. It's,
And you can't pick that up on the map. You don't say...
Yeah.
I know neighborhoods where you can only get in... In one place, and there's like 50 houses in that one area. It's like visiting another country. Yeah. And I don't understand, like the boom gates. You know, maybe it's I'm uneducated about this, but they don't stop you and ask you for the boom gate guy. When he sees a car coming, he opens for the car and closes for the car.
Exactly.
So what exactly is the how is this good? How does this help anybody? These boom gates, these little fenced off neighborhoods, I do not understand, honestly.
Well, I guess you also get that there's people who believe, oh, it'll bring up property prices because it shows a secure area.
Do you think it does?
Well,
probably.
In theory, sure.
Mm.
But if you want to go somewhere and you're a criminal, you can do what you want.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the reality at the end of the day. You can still drive into these areas, you can still drive out. Obviously, you don't have on your car, I am a criminal.
No.
I don't think most criminals do.
No, that would be a bad move for them.
Otherwise, you come in and out like anyone else.
And also, how do you know who's a criminal, for God's sake? None of these guys, the boom gates, what are they, super detectives that can just, they can smell that someone's a little suspicious? As far as I can tell, you know when they have these massive like robberies inside of these golf estates and everything? It's always people on the inside who actually live in one of the houses who are doing the chrome.
So true.
Yeah, they're robbing the houses in the neighborhood with them. So these are, suppose, you know, you'd imagine smart people, drive a smart car. You know, if someone comes in some skorokoro and they look, you know, they look like a poor person or I would assume, not that they're criminal, but that those people are there to visit somebody or whatever.
Yeah.
Those are not the ones you got to be careful of. The ones I'm always worried about are the ones in the fancy cars with the tinted windows and you can't really see into the car to see who it is. And they look like they're not even driving. Someone's driving them. Those are the people you got to look out for.
Yeah, I know. I'm always most watchful of those guys in those blue light cars. I think they're the biggest criminals.
Right. What the hell? And would you rather, here's a question that I've often pondered, like, would you rather live out in the sticks where you have like a long driveway and, you know, there's some effort to get to your house and those people sometimes feel very exposed? Or would you rather be in the city behind boom gates, behind high fences, behind high walls? Because it would seem to me that there's still danger on both sides. Like, being human and being alive is dangerous. Other humans, pretty much since the dawn of time, have been out to get you and get your stuff. So what do you, you know, I'm not saying you have to give up completely and I'm not saying you have to open yourself up to the elements and kind of go to bed at night with all your doors open. That would be ridiculous. But if someone wants to get in, they're going to get in. You know, you hear about these stories of these people who have massive security, like cameras and laser beams and fences and dogs and security guards, and still people get in. I've never heard a story of where someone was 100%. You can't make yourself 100% safe, right? It's not going to happen.
No, so, it's not possible.
So what kind of level of paranoia is good for you? And I do get that, like, some people are genuinely concerned for their safety. There are horror stories. We all hear them. Sometimes they're amplified above and beyond all the normal day-to-day stuff that we deal with. But this is just, it's crazy, right? You can't live like that. Imagine the fear every single night. Huh?
Yeah, that's what kind of then you start imprisoning yourself.
Right.
But there's also this misconception that if you live in these secure gated communities that you are definitely safe. You know, you're not.
I think safer is the new safe.
Safer is the new safe.
I don't even know if that's true. Like, I've heard plenty of stories of people who live in these supposedly safe neighborhoods and the terrible things that happen inside of them.
Mm.
You know, I mean, look at the classic example is the danger is in the room next door or even in the room with you, not outside. And I refer to Henry von Breda.
Well, there you go.
I mean, here they are in this Desalza, whatever it is, estate in, like, between Stellenbosch and Somerset West. It's beautiful there. It's everything's sealed off to the outside world. You would think, oh, that family went to sleep that night, you know, very quiet and happy and calm and resolved that they'd wake up safely the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the danger was clearly from inside the house and from, speculative, but a member of the family who then picked up an axe and came and chopped them all to pieces. Can you imagine anything more horrible than that? So the real danger is what lies right next to you.
Well, I mean, Julia Roberts had the same problem, Gareth, in Sleeping with the Enemy.
Sleeping with the Enemy, right. Oh, man. All right, a couple of emails I've got to get to this morning because we do have an agenda today. Barry Hilton's popping by later on. He's always good. A lot of people loved Prof. David Block yesterday.
What an interesting guy.
Well, did you...
Everything about that dude is just, like, unique and fantastic.
Did you hear when we were talking about the white dwarves and the neutron stars and the black holes with the event horizon and how an event horizon isn't dense at all, so you wouldn't feel as you went into it?
And like a black hole, which will rip you apart.
No. But the event horizon's on the edge of the black hole. So you are on your way into the black hole. But you wouldn't know when you had passed the point of no return. Just fascinating, fascinating stuff. I was talking yesterday. I went for lunch with Toby Shapshak, you know, the publisher of Stuff Magazine. Yep. And our sometime contributor. He had a show here for a while. I had to fire him.
Well, I mean, he didn't show commitment. That was the problem. Yeah.
Well, he was always traveling and, yes. So I had to phone him and I went, Toby, listen, I'm going to have to, you're the first person I've ever fired. So he went, oh, all right. I understand. So he canned his show, but he's doing good stuff. I picked up the latest, issue of Stuff Magazine and there's some very cool stuff in here. Obviously, it's what it's called, Stuff.
look, if you've still got a magazine in 2017,
know.
You know it's good.
I know, and it really is.
Because a lot of them just never lasted.
Yeah. What I love is these gadgets, man. You know, I was saying to him, what I do is I get this magazine, and then I'll dog-ear some of the pages.
Yep.
So I'll fold them over so I know there's a thing there that I want. And then I'll keep it on my desk for 6 months until I've either got that thing or I've given up on it.
Ah.
So it kind of serves as a gadget, tech, want to do, want to buy, want to remember list. And then if after 6 months I've forgotten about it and I don't want it anymore, then thank goodness, lucky me. Didn't end up spending money on another piece of technology you didn't need. I found an iPod the other day in a cupboard.
That's considered a relic these days.
As in, like, the big chunky one.
Yeah, it doesn't work anymore. I tried to charge it and, like, see whether it would. It doesn't even work. It doesn't. It won't charge. Nothing happens.
It's just the thing comes on and says, you must have bought a much newer one by now.
Yeah, it's actually Apple just go, wah, 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 wah. You're an idiot. And you will always belong to us. Regards your slave master, Steve Jobs.
Steve told you to buy a new one 10 years ago.
Right, and I didn't listen. Well, I did. That's why I don't use the iPod anymore. But, you know, at that stage, that was the most evolved thing ever. Remember the idea of listening to music on a device like that was unbelievable to us.
Outrageous. You would like, you could basically base an entire house party around it. Hey, that guy had an iPod.
Wow, that guy had an iPod. What a cool party, because he had an iPod. He plugged it in and we had a whole 5 hours of music. Because, you know, just like a, what, 10 gigs, if you were lucky.
Yeah.
How much were those original iPods in terms of storage space?
Firstly, how much did they weigh? If you had that in your pocket, it was like you had like a gold bar in your pocket. They
were so
heavy.
Yeah. And mine was one of those special edition U2 ones. So it was red and black.
So it was heavy with YouTube music.
No, U2 music.
What did I say?
Not YouTube.
U2, sorry.
Yeah.
Cheapest. U2's still around.
It's been a long week. I know, I still can't delete some of those U2 songs off of
you're not allowed to.
iTunes. Whenever I get on there, I see they're back, and I'm like, oh, for God's sake.
That is so disrespectful of
them.
I know. If you try it, Bono will actually arrive at your door.
I did say that there were messages, and I haven't got to them yet, so let's get straight to the point. Gensani says, hey, Gareth, I love you guys. I tried listening to mainstream radio again last week, and I was feeling the January slump with no data. I will honestly say I did not listen for more than 5 minutes before I thought this is shit and played an audiobook I downloaded the day before. And this was my favorite morning show, but I now found everything they do so mediocre. News isn't the same if Mabali isn't reading it. And though I don't care for sport, I really enjoy Ben's delivery of this stuff. Thursday is my favorite day because of Justice and the Burning Platform. I was listening to a few of the past interviews over the last year and included the one with Julius, Casper, Euphonic, John Flismus, and Tokyo Sekhwale. I love John. It's always great hearing you guys in an interview. I enjoyed how Tokyo Sekhwale dropped some of the biggest names in Hollywood in such a cavalier manner. That was a powerful interview. So much history needs to be dispensed from people like him, lest we forget our roots. Thank you guys for the platform you've created. I like to listen live in the bus on the way to work, but when I miss something because of the noise, I can just get the podcast and listen again. To be honest, I'd much rather repeat the entire show sometimes. You guys are that good. You make my mornings like coffee makes my mornings. Okay, bye. Gensani.
That's a very nice email.
Isn't that awesome? Because you have days like me, I'm sure, where you come in here and you're like, why are we doing this?
I don't want to be here.
You get days like that, right?
Yeah.
And then you read an email like this. I just feel, wow. So, Kensani, you've just, you hit a home run with us. And not just because you're being nice about us, but we often wonder if it's working, too. We wonder if you're getting what you want out of it. My worst fear is that we get here and we do this every day, and people are getting bored and irritated with it. That would be horrible.
Nah.
I've been listening to quite a few other podcasts just to hear what everybody else is up to. And you know, there are a lot of podcasts out there. So you have plenty of options. I totally understand if we're one out of 10 of your favorite podcasts, I'm just delighted to be in your top 10. And we have consistently, I'm proud to say, we've consistently been in the top 10 on South Africa's iTunes virtually from day one, which is awesome. And I, if we dropped out of that, I mean, we usually bubble around 1, 2, or 3, but if we ever drop out of those top 5 positions, and that, you know, some weeks obviously that they're just less downloads, but if we drop out of that top 5, I'm going to be very, very sad. Then it's time for us to quit. We've got to grow out of this. And I'd love you to just keep telling your friends and family and people that you like and people who you think deserve something better to listen to. I know people, very smart people, who just haven't yet cracked the code. They don't realize their phone is the gateway to unbelievable stuff. So they get in the car in the morning and they just do what they've always done. They listen to radio. So help them, please, because in helping them, you help us. And the bigger and more successful this community becomes and the more resources we have, the better the stuff is that we can bring you. I mean, we've got a selection of shows here that are just unparalleled. We've got this weird, I think it's unique in the world, hybrid of like live streaming morning show and podcast. I don't know that there's anyone else who's doing this. And you know what? Maybe it's working, maybe it isn't. You've got to keep us on the straight and narrow. And if there's something you like and something you want more of, you've got to tell me about it. I'm not going to pull it out of the air. And I don't know for sure every time, whether we're hitting a home run or not. Dale says, hey, Gareth, love you guys, love the show. I would like to say that your interview with France yesterday, that was obviously the day before, was one of the best interviews I've ever heard, and I wish we could get even more people to hear it. I was always disillusioned because your interviews tend to blow smoke up the interviewee's ass, but now I realize that you're a very astute interviewer. You read your subject and pander to their needs to extract information. Most insightful and constructive interviews like yesterday will always be welcome. Keep up the good work. Well, thanks, Dale. I don't think we've heard from Dale before, so that's nice. Rick says, what's up? And then Rick sent about five other messages to screen. This is on WeChat with about, you know, with the same, like,
okay, so
what's up?
Rick's weekend's obviously started. He's started drinking.
Right.
There we go. It happens.
Right, absolutely. Well, Ben was very excited about Australia Day yesterday, and he sent me a video of this. It's a girl, believe it or not, in Australia. The reason I'm not trying to be outrageous or controversial here, but Ben sent me this. I didn't know that this was a girl. She doesn't sound like a girl. She's a very big and kind of confident lady, but she's talking about Australia Day and how they should change the day to another date. Listen to this and you can hear what I mean.
The 26th of January is a day that we have traditionally celebrated.
Look at this woman.
Australia. But for some Australians, it's a bit of a shitty day because it's the day that Australia was invaded by colonists. So let's celebrate on a different day, the most Australian day of all, the 8th of May. May 8. Mate.
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 May 8.
It's May 8.
Mate.
May.
Mate.
May.
Mate.
What? You in?
Now look, I know what you're thinking.
She's taking a sip out of a 4X Lager. She is pretty interesting, right?
Is she not maybe like a transgender woman?
Neither of you understand Australian culture? She's a perfectly good
Australian girl.
Handsome Australian woman.
She's a Sheila.
Exactly.
What's a Sheila?
The two of you.
I don't know anything about Australia.
Australian men are called Bruce. Australian girls are called Sheila.
So, oh. Maybe you know anything about Australia. Last year, I did Australia Day on the show.
I was in the middle of a court case, so that's why I wasn't paying attention.
So basically, it was just me, and everyone was like, oh. Yeah.
Mubs, if you say that you're going to spend the weekend with a bunch of girlfriends, you'll say to me, yeah, we're going to have a barbie around my place. I have a couple of the Sheilas here with me.
Oh.
That's how they talk about women. But listen to there's a lot of Australianisms in this. This is why it's funny.
Jordan. We're not celebrating the invasion. We're celebrating Australia. We just want to slip, slop, slap some...
Do you like the way she just leaves off the Oz part of it? Australia.
Yeah, well... I mean,
listen to that.
Like
that's
America.
That's beautiful. America and Australia. Listen.
We're not celebrating the invasion. We're celebrating Australia. We just want to slip, slop, slap some backyard cricket with a fair dinkum golden gate on true blue Bunnings warehouse. Now, look, I get that.
What's that? Does anyone know what that means? What she just said? Anyone?
It's
I thought it's a language. Yeah, well, it's not English. And by the way, behind her is an Australian flag hanging on the line, the wash line, which is a sign of respect for the Australian flag. An Australian cricket top, a pair of Australian shorts, which look like short shorts, and some kind of Australian... Like, I don't know, there's like a cycling top or something. In the inflatable pool behind her is a guy with a beer, a can of beer, not a bottle. Cans are big in Australia. Can of beer. He's sitting in the inflatable pool and he's wearing very, very ugly bright green shorts. And then a guy with jeans, but the bottoms are turned up and he's got a hat with corks, which is a very Australian thing too. And then there's different recycling rubbish bins. Because the one thing about Australians is that they are environmentally aware. Why? Because the ozone layer threatened them before it threatened anyone else. So they know not to get into trouble with the atmosphere and the environment.
But let's imagine that Australia is one big share house. And you live in that share house. And your housemates come home and...
We would call it a commune.
Yeah.
They would call it a share house. All right, so you see, we're different species.
House, and your housemates come home and say, hey, we're going to have a party on Friday night. and you say, "Oh, can we not do it on Friday night? That's the day my dad died." Now, good housemates would say, "Sure, we'll have it next week. We want to make sure everyone has a good time." It's kind of like that. Except your housemates moved in without permission, they don't pay rent, and their dad killed your dad. Which is why they're staying in your dad's old room. So let's make Australia Day May 8th. Sure, it might be a bit cold in May, but it's not as cold as ignoring genocide.
No, I mean, that's one hell of a way. You know, we often get into talks on this show about, yeah, people telling other people what to do and political correctness. Now, that chick was being correct, politically correct, but she was doing it in a funny way, so nobody's upset.
So, yeah, go to YouTube and type in Change Australia Day to May 8th, and you'll see this woman in all her glory.
She's awesome.
What a great speech.
I love her. I mean, what might. A great, you might. What a great human being. She just made my day. All right, I can't believe it, but it's already 6:30, which means it's time for us to check in on the news. Mabali Moloi has the latest news. It's all brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. I told you yesterday they got a brand new summer menu out and some incredibly inspiring new additions to that summer menu, which make me hungry enough to want to go to Colcacchio's tonight. In fact, I'll tell you what. If I can remember to do this, because I'm useless with my short-term memory, but if I can remember to do this, then I will, I'll prove that I was in Colcacchio Pizzeria tonight. I'm going to go to the nearest one. I'm going to have myself a very nice meal. I deserve it, right? End of the week.
End of the month.
End of the month. Yeah. That's a good point.
End of lots of things.
Yeah. Let's do this. Go along to your nearest Colcacchio's. If you need to know all about where your nearest store is, if you want to get yourself some of these rewards, you can get them by going onto the Colcacchio Rewards app. It's available on the App Store. So we got lots of things to get into today, and I don't want to waste your time, so let's go straight to Mubs and find out what is going on in the world. What's happening on this Friday morning? It's Friday, hey? We didn't even say the weekend baby or any of that shit. I suppose we got things to do.
La 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 la.
How's that? I added a couple of instruments myself, Mubs.
Very nice.
All right.
So the ANC have been touched on their studio, and they are very upset.
Yeah!
Coincidentally, they're upset with Australians.
Oh.
Yes, they accused a prominent Australian politician of trying to portray South Africa in a negative light, mm-hmm. particularly the city of Johannesburg, by suggesting that it is a crime haven.
But shouldn't the person who gets upset about that be Herman Mashaba? He's the mayor of Johannesburg. If someone says shitty things about Johannesburg, he's the first person to get upset. No?
Well, there's no rule about who gets upset when things get said, Gareth. You either decide to get upset
right.
or you don't.
Yeah. How are you feeling about this? You're a resident of Johannesburg.
I don't care.
You don't care? You don't
no.
get. If someone says Joburg is terrible, it's ugly, it's a hateful place with mine dumps and townships and dust and it's not attractive, you don't get upset.
No.
You're like, I choose to live here. I don't care what you think.
No.
All right.
So late on Wednesday, a group of inmates escaped from a youth detention facility in the state of Victoria, Australia.
Right.
A manhunt is underway for 7 of the men who fled the facility. So this prominent leader of the opposition in Parliament.
In Australia.
His name is Matthew Guy. He called for the sacking of the Premier, saying the current government was standing by and allowing Melbourne to become the Johannesburg of the South Pacific, which is where the ANC got touched on their studio. So now the ANC wants the High Commission of Australia in Pretoria to clarify the comment.
I know the High Commission of Australia. He's going to arrive there and go, "How you doing, mate? What the fuck's going on here?"
Isn't he the guy we had in here last year?
Yep.
Yeah, I hope he fair dinkum couldn't give a shit about
yeah,
that.
Of course. He's going to say, "Hey, man, can't you take a joke? Don't worry about it." It's like me saying that this is the 1939 Berlin of the world. Don't worry. Don't be so sensitive. Come on, get over yourself. Plus, I don't understand, again, why the ANC are taking it so personally. It's not their fault that Joburg is a crime hotspot.
Gareth, anything to deflect from the real news. You know that.
Oh, okay.
They've chosen to take it personally, Gareth.
Yeah, that's the thing with being offended, is you choose to be offended.
What would you rather do? Keep putting out paid Twitter fires or get offended by Australians?
Much easier to
I think they'll get offended by Australians.
I'm with you. All right.
So from Johannesburg to Cape Town, where the city of Cape Town has approved stricter water restrictions in a full council meeting that took place yesterday. Those restrictions will be effective as from February the 1st.
We are in government in Cape Town.
Yeah. The move comes after repeated failure to reach the intended saving target of 800 million litres of collective water use per day. Capetonians, you're failing. You're simply not saving enough water, and now they're going to make you deal with even stricter restrictions. Dam levels have dropped to below 40%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the National Department of Water and Sanitation, earlier this month, they pointed out that the South African Weather Service had predicted a reduced likelihood of chances of above normal rainfall countrywide between January and April 2017. And they implied that it would take beyond 3 years for dam levels to recover. So it's really not looking good.
Cape Town's rainy season is not January. This is their driest time. They get rain in winter, right?
Yeah.
So they've got to make it to May, June before they're going to get any rain. Is that about right?
Well, it's sort of like, yeah, late April.
Wow.
But Simopsis's point is that this thing is not temporary. It's not like, okay, well, let's just say for a couple of months. Because it's so low, this is like basically the way forward now.
Yes.
So if you're still taking a 10-minute shower, shame on you. You actually deserve to have lots of fruit thrown at you.
Well, you see, another reason not to live in Cape Town.
Yeah.
Now, some of these restrictions involve spot fines of up to 5,000 rand.
Yeah.
Some of these have been
5,000?
Yes. These are some of the proposals that were made in that committee meeting. I'd love to know what the current restrictions actually look like. You know, if you are in Cape Town and you're listening now, I mean, what are you required to do, for example, on a day-to-day basis? Because the city of Cape Town says that, you know, Capetonians are supposed to be saving up to 800 million liters of collective water use per day, and they're simply failing at doing that.
I don't know. I don't know how to solve this problem, because if you don't have water, you don't have water. There's nothing you can do, right? You can't. We've got to develop as humans. We've got the sea. And there is a finite amount of water in the world. Now, we're not destroying water. So it's not as if there's less water now than there ever was in the history of the earth. But it's not all useful. Most of it is very salty and saline and not particularly potable is the word they use for it. And then there's the water that we've polluted, which obviously has run into the sea and dams and rivers. So we've ruined all the rivers in this country pretty much.
Then there was the drought issue.
Then there's the drought. But that's just because the water is in different places to where it needs to be sometimes. I mean, look at Johannesburg. Yesterday, did you see how much rain we had yesterday?
A lot.
I was sitting in my office here and I looked behind me and it was like there was a waterfall coming down the driveway. So where we are, clearly there's no problem. And by the way, are we still under water restrictions?
Yeah, in Joburg.
Yeah. I don't think so. Can anybody answer that? Because I got an email from someone the other day saying that where we live, if you use a hose pipe to water the garden, you could be fined.
Good. But I think it's about getting past that question. It's about more like, okay, water's a resource. We must all cherish it. Whether it's rained for 10 days or not, there's going to be another time where there'll be a drought, which will be maybe, who knows.
So just stop being an idiot.
Just stop being a dick with water. Right. Exactly. It's a valuable resource. Like, you wouldn't go out and just start pissing money away. So why do it with something else that's valuable?
But also, Gareth, you know, when you spoke about there being a lot of rain yesterday, I mean, the South African Weather Service have predicted that as much as we think that we are dealing with a lot of rain, that still won't be enough to completely recover our dam levels. They say it will take beyond 3 years with the predicted rainfall to recover our dam levels.
But again, you don't want to hop on about this.
It's such a buzzkill.
You don't want to hop on about this the whole time, but what are government steps towards this? This is a bit of a disaster. Like, I know pay Twitter's a disaster. They're trying to deal with that right now. But we have lots of sunshine, right? So at what stage does solar power desalinization plants come into this?
That's a good question, because up until now, government's strategy has been to tell us as South Africans to save water.
Yeah, but populations are only growing.
So they've put the onus on us.
Which is always what they love to do. Hey, they don't have to do anything.
That's why we voted for them, Ben, so that they can put the onus on us.
But can we not just maybe get our heads out of our ass for 1 second here, which I know is a lot, and just realize that there has to be that next step, because people aren't going to like change who they are. I mean, sure, you won't get a guy maybe hosing his front garden in the open anymore, but that guy's still having a 10-minute shower. He's not going to change.
Yeah.
They're still going to fill up their pools and not put covers on it and that kind of stuff.
Do you know
who
the biggest culprit is?
Of what?
Of use of water.
I understood it to be households.
No. Not just households. One in particular?
Oh, not Nkandla.
No, we always go to that one to blame
them. Well, I mean, it's a big house.
My sister uses it. She stands in the shower. This human being stands in the shower for up to 45 minutes, which is outrageous.
She'll be driven out of town with pitchforks.
No, my mother said, because, you know, she still lives at home. My mother said she's got to sometimes go knock on the door. Hey! Get out of there. She just loves the shower. I said to her, you know what? If you love the shower so much, you got to go and stand outside when it rains, because at least then you're not wasting water.
Okay.
It's inexcusable.
So just to put things into perspective here, generally speaking,
yeah,
women are going to take longer than men in the shower, right? We've got more to do.
I understand.
Maybe you're washing your hair that day.
Yes.
Maybe your armpits are out of control. Your legs too.
Right.
Does it make a difference though if you turn the tap on and off? So when you don't need the water, like if you're busy shaving.
Yeah.
Turn the tap off.
Exactly.
The shower tap off.
Exactly. There we go.
Does that make a difference?
Yes. Of course it does.
Big time.
Okay,
you save a lot of money.
Then that's what we should be doing.
Within 23 seconds, my buddy Malloy has found the way around this. Your sister will think, fuck that, 45 minutes.
Well, exactly.
Take that environment.
Not interested in helping the world.
She must have the smoothest legs in the whole world, the cleanest hair. If she doesn't, then this is all a big waste. So there we go. Desalinization plants in DePort Sandra Cliff.
Yeah. And we just salted. Then we've sorted out the world's problems.
Just like that.
Jeepers.
Done. I love it.
Okay, speaking of the world's problems, the president of Mexico yesterday scrapped a planned summit with Donald Trump. Okay.
Yeah.
In the face of insistent tweets from the American president demanding that Mexico pay for the big wall.
But
they're now in a spat, the two leaders. Okay.
Yeah.
President Enrique Peña Nieto fired the salvo on Twitter after Trump's call for Mexico to foot the bill for his planned wall. It prompted a groundswell of calls in Mexico for next week's meeting to be called off. And I guess President Nieto has decided to listen to those calls. So he's canceled the planned proposed meeting between him and Trump.
Hmm.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Theresa May...
Hold on a sec.
Oh.
I don't want to let this Mexican thing go away. If someone keeps insulting you, you don't have to keep taking it, right?
Unless it's a client and you rely on their business.
Even then. In fact, especially then, you should ignore the client. Don't you think?
Then you don't have a job, Gareth.
No, I'm sorry, Ben. I was talking to someone yesterday, and he was saying that his boss got into a huge argument with one of their major clients. Was worth like a couple of million rand a year. And they've lost the business.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh my God, that's terrible. Couldn't they have resolved it? He's like, no, she's a bitch. And she's very difficult. But people trust her. They like her. But when she fight with you, she will fuck up everything. So I said to him, does this hit your bottom line? He's like, oh, very big. We have a very little business now from this company. They don't want to deal with us because she's difficult. She argue a lot. But I kind of respect someone who stands their ground. I mean, you don't want to be a curmudgeon.
Of course not.
But if you're in Mexico and this guy who's the new boss of America he's literally trolling you day in and day out.
And loving it.
And he's just being a dick. He's being a dick. He's being a tremendous dick.
Trolling presidential level. That's like the new.
I'm having such a good time being a tremendous dick. I'm going to keep on doing it, and Mexico's going to pay for the wall. Horrible.
What do you do if you're Mexico? You don't have to sit and take it.
No, you absolutely don't.
Please, be the victim over and over again. Eventually, you're going to go, look, shut up, man.
But this whole wall thing is such a joke now, because Donald's so far in, he can't backtrack. He's probably thinking, this whole wall thing was a joke.
I should never have done that. Yeah.
I can't back out now. Mexico is thinking like, oh, geez, why must we live with this? We're a self-respecting nation of people. Now we must deal with this.
All right. We got enough time to go into one more story?
No, let's go to the sport.
Right. We've got Weza Matumane coming in a little bit later on too. He's become a major celebrity after doing a show here with us. He's now the most in-demand voiceover artist in South Africa. That's what people are telling me. And this morning he will be with us, Weza Matumane. And we've met all the guys in the show sort of one by one or all together over the course of the last 2.5 years. And Weza's going to come in today. We talked a little bit about where he's at. But first, here's Ben. What an awesome intro.
Well, I'll tell you what else is really awesome right now is the Aussie Open.
Oh, yeah?
Like
Australia.
I haven't been this involved in a tennis grand slam for quite some time, because the storyline is just, well, fairy tale. No, not some massive underdog has come through. Basically, someone who works in the fish and chip shop is about to make the final. It's even better than that.
Yeah?
Williams sisters are in the final. So yesterday, Venus beat Coco Vandeweghe in 3 sets.
Yes.
And then Serena was clearly overjoyed by this, and she went out, shook hands with Luki Baroni, and then absolutely slapped her around the face for about 33 minutes.
Hip, hip, hooray!
Like 6-2, 6-2, 6-3. She literally went out there just to warm up her backhand for the weekend.
Well, Mabale tweeted out something like, did Serena just warm up, or was that an actual match?
It was astounding.
I mean, you got to feel for this Croatian woman. At some stage, she must have thought, I might as well just give this racket to the ball girl. Just give some laughs. So that's it. Unstoppable. And so now it's the 9th time that these sisters are going to face each other in a Grand Slam final. Serena currently leads 6-2. So if Serena wins over the weekend, she gets 23 titles, right? Which will take her into the greatest title number in the Open era, which will be 23. If Venus were to win, she'll become the 7th highest Grand Slam winner in the Open era, tying with Billie Jean King.
Yes.
Together, they're about to win their 30th Grand Slam title between the two of us.
Amazing.
How bloody amazing is
that? Most successful family in tennis.
Yep.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And that father of theirs, Richard, well, he saw it all from day one.
What an investment he made. What a return he's got on his investment.
I posted the story on my website yesterday. They interviewed him back in 1992. And I think when they make a movie out of the Williams sisters, it's straight out of Compton 2. Because that's what Richard said, basically. They were living in Compton. Mm. He had made $4,000 a year. He just saw some woman making $1,000 for one tournament. And he's like, we're in the wrong business.
Wow.
So he put his girls into that, and they were amazing. And he believed that Serena was, from the age of 11, Serena was going to be the greatest tennis player ever. That even though she was younger than Venus, she was going to be better. And this dude, so cool, calm, and collected, back in 1992, basically everything he said is what's happened right now.
Jeez.
These two are in the twilight of their career. They really are towards the end, and they're still in the final of Grand Slam. Absolutely amazing. There was, at some stage in their career, they contested 4 consecutive Grand Slam finals. The first time they did it was 2002, so this will be the 9th time on the weekend. You mentioned that 4 Grand Slams in a row, you rock up, and your two girls are in the final.
Yeah.
Like everyone thinks Tiger Woods' story is amazing, and sure, it is. Not taking nothing away from Tiger. But I still think this is one of the greatest stories, from rags to riches, if you want to call it that, or just from small beginnings to
big end. How much credit does he get, and how much credit does Aurasine get?
I think...
Obviously, the girls deserve the lion's share of the credit. They did it themselves. But,
yeah,
you know, how do the... Of the two parents, because they're divorced, right?
They are divorced. I don't know when exactly they got divorced, but... Aurasine gets a little bit of the credibility because while they were still married, the two of them had to work as a team, as parents,
right,
to make things work for their daughters.
And Aurasine had 3 daughters from her first marriage.
And apparently they get on okay. Like Aurasine and Richard, they're okay with each other. They're like, obviously when the divorce happened, it wasn't the easiest thing in the world, but...
And it seems like the, you know, the Williams sisters get along with their half-siblings just as well.
Okay. Right. It obviously helps when you're this successful in sport because you've got this thing that's driving you through life, right?
Well, Oracine Price, famous as the mother of Serena and Venus Williams, her estimated net worth is about $900,000. Not huge. I mean, considering Venus is worth $75 million. Her real name, Venus Ebony Star Williams. That's her full name. $75 million.
Well, there you go.
So you can't say Oracine took any of that.
No.
You know? Can you? And Richard, do you think he's very, very rich himself? Richard?
Well, I think he's well off. But let's not dilly or dally on that.
Hang on. Serena or Venus, who's richer?
It has to be Serena.
Obviously Serena. She's the greatest tennis player.
How much richer is she?
A lot.
She's in the three digits of millions rich.
I've got the list of 30 highest paid tennis players of all time.
Okay.
Which I'll put out after. I'll tweet this out. It's a long list.
Cool.
It's even got Martina Navratilova's biceps in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jesus, this list is lesbian biceps.
This list is quite something. Goran Ivanisevic is 30th with 19.87 million.
Yeah.
And then Novak Djokovic, obviously top of the pile. That's no spoiler. That's just common sense. He's the best. He's the greatest.
How much?
107,898,543.
I've got a number here for Serena that says she's at 150 million.
Well, that's endorsements. This is just playing.
Okay.
Yeah. Not net worth, but actual prize money. Okay. Highest paid playing on the court stuff.
Fair enough. But I mean, if Serena's worth 150 mil, she's doing very nicely. Thank you.
Well, of course she is. And she's about to marry the guy who started Reddit.
Woohoo. Okay. Good for her.
Yeah.
She's a winner at life.
So also winning at life is Roger Federer. He beat Stan Wawrinka in 5 sets yesterday. This guy hasn't played for like 6 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he had the most amazing speech yesterday after beating Wawrinka. He said that he went through a stage where there was this long layoff, and obviously he's getting on. He's 35. And when Nadal's left arm was injured as well, the two of them met at his foundation in somewhere in Spain. And the two of them could barely walk or play. And now these kids wanted them to play. So Roger said to him, you know, we should really have some sort of like charity match at some stage, you know, just like an exhibition between the two of us. So if Nadal's left arm beats Dimitrov today, then that exhibition, which I joked about, it'll actually be a Grand Slam final. It's great stories, great everything for the Aussie Open. So stick on that for the weekend, because in Australia land, it will be in the morning here in SA to watch. So plenty of time to function around that. Into football, big weekend of football because we've got the AFCON quarterfinals. So Saturday, Burkina Faso versus Tunisia at 6 o'clock SA time. Then we've got Senegal versus Cameroon at 9. And then Sunday, we've got the Democratic Republic of Congo versus the Black Stars of Ghana. That'll be at 6 o'clock, and Egypt versus Morocco after that at 9. But we've also got the FA Cup. Before we get into that, English League Cup. That's what happened last night. And Man United scraped home against Hull City. They lost 2-1 in the night, but they went through to the final 3-2 in aggregate. Mourinho, not taking any chances, fielded a pretty much full-strength team to take on Hull. So now that final will be against Southampton. So Man United versus Southampton, 26th of February. FA Cup fourth round this weekend. So this is when basically the really good teams pull away from the other ones. So we've still got many, many games. Here's a pick of the fixtures. Tonight, Derby versus Leicester at 5-10. Leicester have had a horrible last few weeks because they lost some stars to AFCON. But Marius will be back and he will be playing against Derby, whose emblem is a sheep. On Saturday, we've got Liverpool versus Wolves at 2:30. Crystal Palace take on Man City at 5. Spurs versus Wycombe Wanderers at 5. Brighton versus Lincoln City. We told you the story of Lincoln City last week, so they're in action again. That'll be at 5 as well. Chelsea will be taking on Brentford. Arsenal versus Southampton at 7:30. And then Sunday will be the last of the FA Cup fourth round matches for the weekend. Wigan away to Man United. Yeah, that was all football, really. So big weekend as well for rugby because we're getting into the month of Super Rugby, which is February. So to ease us into that, we've got the Wellington Sevens, which is the seventh tournament held in New Zealand. And of course, the Blitzbox are one of the definite favorites. But this is because in New Zealand, the time zone isn't so great. But the Blitzbox will be playing in the same pool as Australia, Fiji, and Japan. England, who beat the Blitzbox in Cape Town in the last sevens, they're in the same pool as Argentina, Kenya, and Papua New Guinea. And then Pool C will have the host New Zealand taking on Samoa, USA, and France, with the final pool, Pool D, Canada, Russia, Scotland, and Wales. So that will take place from around midnight and go through the morning, ending around sort of 9 a.m. around there. because they're so far ahead. Other rugby news, it looks like Alistair Garcia will hold on to his job. Some people are saying it's because of pressure from Rasmataz Face, but it's also by the fact that they can't afford it. We've been saying this all along. So Saru are kind of saying, well, let's just assess you after the June internationals, which is, again, another stupid plan, because if he screws up again in June, then we have to try and get a new coach basically with the rugby championship starting in August. It makes no sense. It just makes no sense.
Dumb.
But then again, expectation is so low with the Springboks right now, you probably tuned out as I started using those words. This Saturday, we'll see the start of the Proteas ODI series versus Sri Lanka. Right. That's going to be a good one because it's Champions Trophy year. So that takes place in June in England. So the Proteas will look to have an opportunity here to sort of refine what their best team is. And also cricket for the weekend will be England versus India in T20 matches. India losing by 7 wickets yesterday, I think, to England. Not so great. And that pretty much is all the big sport to look out for this weekend, Gareth. There's, of course, golf. Tiger Woods shot a 76 as opening round yesterday at Torrey Pines, a course that he knows like the back of a prostitute's head. But he's still, I don't think, will make the cut here, which isn't very exciting. And then Bradley Drage, he is leading in the Qatar Masters on the European Tour.
Very good. Thank you, Ben. To look at your sport, let's get to Anthea Gardner and find out what's happening with your money in the Money Shot. This is where we help you figure out what the pluses, minuses, and in-betweens are. All right, are you ready, Mubs?
Yeah.
You like my version?
No. It's good. Very bad.
Good morning, Anthea.
Gareth, that is only a little bit creepy.
Hey, it's your song. I didn't choose it.
All right. Okay. So it wasn't you singing in the background.
No, don't be silly. Are you mad?
Okay.
Anthea, there was a small Asian man with no pants
on. Yes, exactly. How dare you? He's now left.
Great.
All right, let's go. What's happening with this morning? Can we start with the Aussie?
Yes, our all-share index closed about a third of a percent higher yesterday. Mixed bag. Industrials and financials were higher. Resources were down about 1%.
Yes.
So the oil price had a sharp move higher yesterday. Brent crude is now $56.21 a barrel, which is great for MTN. The share was up 3.5%. Best performing share in the top 40 index, in fact, yesterday. Right. It doesn't often get that accolade. But Sasol was down 3%, which was odd, and it didn't manage to take advantage of the crude oil rally. In fact, it didn't even manage to take advantage of the even slightly weaker rand, for that matter. They put out a very weak trading update yesterday. Headline earnings per share expected to be down between 34 and 44%. It's not great for Sasol. A couple of things, you know, they haven't realized the chemical prices that they wanted to. They've had lost volumes from their strike at the coal mine, so they've had to purchase coal in. And then they have one or two currency translation losses. So it's a shame because, for you know, it's such a high oil price, or so much higher than it has been in the past.
Right.
You'd expect them to take advantage of it. And there were lots of resource companies reporting, or not reporting, putting out trading updates yesterday. Not least of which, Anglo American, very positive update, like all the things we expected though. Like we spoke about those rough diamond sales on Tuesday, so that came out, that came through nicely for De Beers. The Kumba results were good because of the iron ore. Amplats was a bit disappointing. The share was down just over 0.5% yesterday, which was a bit odd. So I think it really was a decent set of results, but I think people were just expecting it. So, I mean, you've spoken to Saleo before. He's the resources analyst. And I came back and said, why? Like, that was such a great trading update. Why is the share down? And he said, well, Anthea, that's because there are more sellers than buyers. So we might be looking for a new resource analyst.
All right. Don't be sarcastic with your own people. All right. You said Anglo, Lonmin Merafe.
Yeah. So Lonmin, shocking set of results. The share was down over 20% yesterday. So their net, this is the big thing. Their net cash position fell from $179 million at the end of September to $49 excuse me, million dollars at the end of December. So that's a cash burn rate of over $40 million a month.
All right.
I mean, that's not a great statistic for a company.
Not at all.
And then Morafi as well put out the trading update. Headline earnings expected to be 20 to 23 and a half cents a share. We're looking for, also Soleo's company, 24 cents a share. So slightly less than we were expecting. They did have a good run with these ferrochrome prices, though, so that's good. And in fact, they're quite the opposite position to Lonmin. They've got, they're in a very good cash position, so they've got lots of free cash flow. I'm not sure exactly. I can't remember the exact number I read yesterday. And in fact, they were saying they don't have major expansionary projects on the horizon, so they don't need to spend it, and they're likely to pay down debt and return cash to shareholders. Now, you know how we feel about returning cash to shareholders, because that's dividend and cash in our pockets, right?
Right.
As shareholders.
Yes.
So that was good, yeah. And that was pretty much all the resource companies.
How about Clicks?
Yeah, they also put out trading update yesterday. Revenue grew by just over 8.5%. Clicks itself was up 13.6%, while Body Shop, the clear accessories, Musica was up about 12%. And the drag on their performance really here is the United Pharmaceuticals division, UPD they call it, which is a subsidiary, you know, so kind of pharmaceutical distribution. That was only up 6%. And a lot of this increase was inflation of 5.4%. So if you strip out the inflationary growth, then actually that leaves very little real growth. I mean, they did say it's a tough trading environment in their defense. And the retailers have had it quite bad in the country of late. So in their defense, they have been fairly resilient, fairly defensive. But I guess Dis-Chem would make a difference to them. The share is now trading on a 24 times forward price earnings ratio, which I think is a bit of a stretch, actually. So we'll see what happens. They'll have to pull up their socks a bit if they're going to improve that ratio.
Absolutely. There are another, you know, every week there's another Ponzi scheme. And there's a new one that people have actually emailed me about already, too. I'm sure you've heard of it, Anthea. Promising double your investment in 30 days.
That's right. It's bottomlinegroup.co.za. Yeah. Now, the thing that
what
bothers
a terrible name for a company that's trying to get you to put your money in there. Bottom Line Group.
So yes,
they might as well call themselves BernieMadoff.com.
There you go. So, yes, I have heard about it. And, Gareth, the thing I'm worried about with this one is normally when we talk about Ponzi schemes, I always say go to a financial services provider, a registered company with the FSB.
Right.
And I went onto this website and I thought, and they actually advertise registered investment entity. And I thought, who are you registered with is the question.
Right.
But they have an FSB number. So I went onto the FSB website. And they are actually registered, but
no.
Any company that promises for you to double your investment, there's a problem there. I mean, that is, we've been watching this market together now for 2 years, and we all know that you just don't double your investment in 30 days. That's not how this market works.
Not
if the
chance.
Banks are paying you 4.5%, who's going to pay you 100%? It's pretty obvious that it's a Ponzi scheme. And people are so desperate to make money that actually they fall for these things. And it's my worst thing ever. It really is. You know, if I'm saying to you, well, actually, in the money market account, I'll give you 7.5%. And over the long term, the JSE has returned a total return of about 16%. And these guys come in and say, well, we'll double your money in 30 days. It's tempting, but you must know there's something wrong. I mean, just kind of.
If it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
There you go.
It's that simple.
Yep, definitely.
Correct. Okay. Thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend.
You too. Happy Friday.
Thanks.
Anthea Gardner with a look at the money in the Money Shot. That's where you get all the info that you need. That's right. To make your day. Or at least to start your weekend properly. I can't believe it's Friday. It's fantastic. Let's get into it. Everybody, take a load off. Weekend is here.
cliffcentral.com.